Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Football Podcast Show 146. And I must apologise in advance if the sound isn't very good because we're using my crappy old phone.
It's not even a smartphone, is it?
It's quite a dumb phone, I think. It's kind of the opposite. But even when you look at it, it's got the little symbols that rotate that are supposed to be like, you know, a video reel on a projector.
Like an
and they're going really slow. So this might be really badly broken up. I can only apologise. Now, as you might hear, Jim, Dan and Andy all aren't here this week. I think my ego last week's driven them away, but it doesn't matter because we've got Jerome and Chris here and they're even better.
Yeah.
You've not been here for about a month, Jerome.
I know.
It's a busy time of year, but now Villa are back into winning ways, I think.
Well, it lasted one game. We won 1-0.
You've won two on the bounce, haven't you?
No, we lost on
You lost on Chip, but that doesn't count. The League Cup. I've got a trivia question to start with, sent in by Dan Greenfield, one of our listeners. One that you can maybe mull over throughout the show. There's one player who has represented three countries at the World Cup. Can you name him?
Actually played.
Yeah. I think he's actually played all three World Cups.
Is that legal?
No, that's illegal.
Well, think about how you might play for a different country.
Tough one.
Well, all will be revealed at the end of the show, so it's one for you to mull over. In fact, the answer's there, so I best keep it in your bed. Right, I think first things first, we best address the derby. And all things considered, I think it was quite a tidy win for United last night. He's not being rivaled, fair enough. No. It was fair play to Man City. He played very well. We lined up completely incorrectly. We should have had three in midfield.
Yeah, as soon as you put three in midfield second half, you looked a lot better.
Two of their goals came from players coming into the box late, which a holding midfield like Carrick could have helped avoid. And one came from Yaya Toure, he was just immense.
Actually,
you won't see four in midfield.
He's been brilliant since
the start of the season. Arguably, best player in the league thus far. And City haven't looked that impressive so far this season. But
On the weekend they looked very good. Villa got them this weekend, so good luck.
Yeah. Is that Villa Park or...?
Yes.
Oh, well, there you go. Shouldn't be a problem. You're on
our home form is horrendous.
Yeah. Is it two away on the bounce of winning the league now?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, at least you're picking up wins, at least you're getting up there.
Yeah.
The young lad Kozak, what's he look like?
I'm not seeing that much of him personally, but his first attempt was quite awful until it bounced back to him and he had a second attempt which was a fairly decent finish. Other than that, I'm not seeing much of him, so I'm still reserving judgment on that one.
Right, we'll have to see. And the Gooners?
Yeah, what, last night?
We'll start with the league. We'll talk about the League Cup in a bit.
Yeah, it was alright. Good game.
Yeah.
Aaron Ramsey has scored more goals in all competitions than
any other player in the Premier League this season. It's ridiculous.
Seven goals.
That's including the qualifiers for the Champions League as well.
That's all competitions.
Yeah, well, that's a great
return.
It's a great return for a midfielder and one that is...
Who was shit last year.
Yeah. He's had so much stick.
He's coming to his own, definitely.
I think in the right position.
Yeah.
Playing him on the wing, he's not got much pace, not much skill, like as in like beating a player, so in the natural position is midfield.
I was a little bit annoyed to see Arteta. I was glad to see him come off injured because Arteta and Ramsey together are a great partnership for us. And I was waiting for him to come back, and obviously he's gone off injured now. I'm not 100% sure on his situation.
Last night, Arteta came off.
We'll have to see. So, but them two on their day are great.
I tell you what, I'd be interested to know when the last time the two North London clubs were the two top teams in the Premier League. Tottenham are second, they got their late winner through Paulinho, a lovely little flick, wasn't it? And he scored again on Tuesday, actually, as well, I think. Absolutely flying, but it's very tight at the moment. Liverpool obviously losing to Southampton. They've had a bad couple of days, obviously losing to us in the League Cup as well. Although, the biter is back. He's got a lovely touch, but he's such a... I can't praise the man.
No.
He's such an odious bloke.
No, I was glad that the Arsenal, being linked with Arsenal,
yeah,
throughout the transfer window. In my back of my mind, I knew it wasn't going to happen, and I was glad it didn't happen. Although, you know, a player played for a club, yeah, you've got to sort of love him.
Well, you think if you'd got Suarez, you wouldn't have got Ertzl probably.
No, and I'd be
so upset. I think most people would choose Ertzl over Suarez. As good a player as Suarez is,
I've got a theory that Arsene Wenger was pulling the strings the whole way through the deal. And
well, there's been a lot of that, wasn't there? Because there was a lot of... He moved there, so he moved there. I think it all started with Andre Santos, didn't it? Andre Santos caused you to get Ertzl, Okay, Arsene. elsewhere, Premier League, Paulo Di Canio's gone.
Ooh.
That was always going to end horribly, wasn't it?
Always going to happen.
Lee James from FFCU has asked us what gift we think he's going to leave on the players' pillows after he's left. He's suggested a horse's head, obviously, but I don't know. It kind of, I was reading in the Mirror this morning, it shows player power is so important, because apparently with the senior players, and fair enough, Di Canio sounds like a loose cannon. But I can't remember if it was Ollie Holt writing the article this morning, but if Brian Clough had been around today, he won't last 5 minutes in a fucking job, would he?
Well, the game's changed, isn't it?
Yeah, of course, yeah. And I'm sure the calendar's changed.
Managers out there have adapted. Alex Ferguson, for example, he was for a bit
like
that.
His boot-kicking days are over.
No player or club is... no player or manager is bigger than the club.
Tony Pulis probably doesn't nakedly wrestle players anymore and that sort of thing. Who's the favourite to win there? It's Gus Poyet, isn't
it? Gus Poyet said, I read this morning, he is probably his closest to the job because Di Matteo said he doesn't want it. So I think he's next in line, so he probably looks like Gus Poyet.
I just don't see it.
I don't know who else, though. Who
they're
else
going from that? One shit in the dressing room to another, aren't they, really? Boom, boom.
I rate Gus Poyet. I think he's a good manager. He plays good football as well. So.
He's an intelligent bloke.
Yeah.
And I do like him. I always think he's quite good as a pundit. But I just wonder whether on... It's one of those go either way. I mean, Paul Ince had a great track record until he went to Blackburn. Di Canio had a great track record. Obviously, they're different personalities. But just wonder whether it's too much too soon. But, I mean, on the flip side, you look at someone like... Di Matteo, who made a massive step up from West Brom, albeit in the Premier League, to Chelsea, and did a very good job for a few months until he got sacked. So maybe not the best example.
I just don't think Di Matteo wants to manage the Championship, really, because...
No, but I think given that he's won the Champions League, he's earned the right to have a crack at another club.
Yeah.
I think whether or not moving to the North East is what he'd look for, but, you know, you play the cards you do, and Sunderland are a very big club. So, good luck to him. Speaking of Italian managers, Watford, 5-1 at Barnsley at the weekend. Very good point. Gianfranco Zola is working wonders there.
Yeah.
Really? The last 2 years. Good lad. Sorry, I'm including a bit of Football League, because we've had complaints that I like Hollywood football a bit too. I will point out that United's loanees in the Championship did very well at the weekend. Kiko Makeda got a brace at Doncaster. Who were they playing? Somebody. I did watch the Football League show as well for my sins. Nottingham Forest, Jerry, thanks. If Andy Reid scored a very good goal in that game, I can't believe he's still playing.
The roly-poly
former Tottenham midfielder. Nick Powell scored for Wigan against Ipswich. And Jesse Lingard, bloody hell. Four goals on his debut from midfield. Well, as a sort of advanced winger, you know, false nine, Trek East, or whatever the positions are called these days. But,
four on your debut.
I was reading earlier, I don't think anyone has ever scored more than four on their debut in a competitive game. I think Mickey Quinn did for Newcastle way back when. Another Roman Catholic. But he looked like a talent for us in pre-season, but bloody hell, he's flying. Another one to point out, actually, Dan's not here to talk about Brighton winning, but they're playing Bolton. It was Spanish Day at the Amex Stadium. Now, I know Brighton have a Spanish manager and some Spanish players, and Bolton, I think, have had quite a few, like Hierro and Campo down the years. I'm not sure, Mikel Alonso as well, they've had a few. So I'm not sure why it was Spanish Day. I'm not sure why there were a load of people dressed in ponchos and
sombrero,
but Mexico is close enough, isn't it?
So it's an sandwich, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, back it, it's all the same, it's all the same. But I did like the fact that Bolton took the lead to a known girl from the Spanish player. Brighton did go on to win. Bolton are fucked in that division at the moment. 3 points, and after being the form team at the end of last season, they just missed out on the playoffs, didn't they?
Yeah, DJ Friggin's probably kicking himself, like, leaving Bolton at the bottom of the league to, leaving Crystal Palace, actually, to... I think a big mention has to go out to Leighton Orient as well.
It does, yeah, especially because Andy France isn't here. And I know, because Andy France, when I came in on Monday, emailed me saying, oh, how do you enjoy the football, how do you enjoy the football? And I said to him, we'll wait and discuss it until tomorrow, because he hates Leighton Orient. He's got family members of the Leighton Orient fan. And I know he'll be listening to this. He is a... he's at a work lunch at the moment. But how did it get on, Andy? How did it get on, mate? But no, Leighton Orient are flying. I mean, one thing that Andy did point out to me is this time last year, it was something like Bournemouth were 18th and they ended up going up. Doncaster was something like 12th, they ended up going up. The only team who haven't dropped the point at the opposite end of the table. A little mention for Gillingham, seeing as Jim isn't here, because I mean, it's always a big step up, and you never know how it's going to go. Either way, they were playing Bradford, who also got promoted. In fact, got promoted from seventh and went up in the playoffs. And Bradford beating them at home, it's just not going well for the Gillingham.
It's not, man.
It's a terrible shame. I know Jim's still enjoying himself going in.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, tearing up towns on a Saturday afternoon, but we'll keep an eye out on them, I'm sure. Anything from League 2, let's have a little look, because we really love the Football League. Wimbledon are still flying. They're in the playoff places, and for a team that have one of the smallest resources, and a team that we have quite close to our hearts, it'll be fantastic to see them go up to League 1. Especially, well, to be honest, I'd rather MK Dons went down, but if they end up playing each other again. It was a bit of a non-event last year because the Wimbledon fans didn't want to rise to anything almost. They didn't
want to honour MK Dons
in any way. But
acknowledge their existence.
Yeah, I think it's still an event, and it's still something that captures the imagination. So, lovely to see. Right, League Cup we'll go on to because we spoke briefly. Arsenal last night.
Yeah, taking West Brom to penalties is never a good result, even if you win or lose. But yeah, it was if anyone saw the match, it was obviously putting out our youth team, as it were. Nothing special to say. Icefield scored a good goal, but other than that, I think he looked fairly anonymous. Didn't really get much from any of the players.
Yeah.
No end product from anyone, really.
How did Bentley get on?
He's got a cracking haircut.
Yeah, it was a great haircut. But he looks like a player that hasn't played for a while, which he is.
Yeah.
He had a great opportunity to bury one, and he didn't. But at the end of the day, it's Bentner, and what would you expect from Bentner? He's playing because we haven't bought a striker. That's the only reason.
Yeah.
Didn't Wenger say that he still could be a world beater or something like that? Yeah. He commented on that.
To be fair, you had Park Chu-Yung on the bench as well. I mean,
yeah. Well, Bentner is the self-confessed greatest striker that ever lived.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see. I mean, if he's going to start playing again, hopefully he won't. He's not a bad player. He's not a bad player.
I think his attitude's wrong.
His attitude's very wrong.
And,
he actually had a decent scoring record as well.
I don't think he's good enough for Arsenal.
Yeah.
No.
And that's not to say he's terrible, he's shit, but he's not good enough for Arsenal.
He's pretty shit, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he is a bit.
No, he's not. I know what you mean, but you've got to, and you've got a glamour tie.
Yeah. Chelsea. I was a little bit annoyed because I'm sort of, obviously the squad's very sort of threadbare thin at the moment.
Yeah.
I was sort of hoping that we'd just get knocked out by West Brom and that'd be the end of it and we can focus on the league now with the minuscule squad that we have. But obviously now we've got to come play Chelsea. Depending on what team they'll put out, I don't think we'll get any further, to be fair. I mean, if we're going to put out a similar team to what we did last night, then I can't see us.
Well, it's interesting you say with threadbare squads, because I was talking to a Liverpool mate of mine this morning, and obviously they're never happy to lose to United. But at the same time, he pointed out when Tottenham got to, well, when they had the lasagna gate and missed out on the Champions League because they were all shitting themselves, they got knocked out in the third round of the FA Cup and the second round of the League Cup in that season, so they only played 40 competitive games.
Yeah, exactly.
So they had a completely fit squad, and that's not to say Liverpool got out of the FA Cup, and not to say that they wouldn't want to try and win it, because I'm sure they would.
They would try to win it yesterday.
Oh, yeah, they did. They played a full-strength team.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they were, if they're playing 40 games and say United, Chelsea, City, Arsenal are playing 55,
it's a blessing in disguise. Yeah. So we'll have to see.
So there's no reason they can't go on. But a few other interesting results. Swansea.
Oh, yeah.
Out. It's one of those that could happen. And again, Birmingham. Great result.
I think for Swansea, again, it's a bit of a blessing in disguise because they've got the Europa League to concentrate, and I think they want to take that really seriously this year.
Also finishing high up as well.
Finishing high in the league as well. So
yeah,
it's becoming less and less significant for a lot of clubs that are in Europe or just haven't got a big enough squad to actually take it seriously.
It's sadly often the way as well, isn't it, that a team is on. Fair enough to Swansea, actually, since the last show they've gone to Valencia and won 3-0.
Yeah.
So there's no reason. Valencia are having a very tough time at the moment financially, and they've had their worst start to the league ever, I think. But if Swansea can go and beat Valencia 3-0 in the Mestalla, which isn't an easy place to go, there's no reason they can't go very far in that competition. Elsewhere in the draw, you've got a print off the draw there, Chris. Let's have a look. Quite a few interesting sides. Newcastle City, Tottenham have got Hull. Hull are looking quite good this season, actually.
Yeah,
winning at Newcastle at the weekend.
Steve
Bruce, he's another one like Allardyce. He's not like, and he's relegated Birmingham before, but he's not likely to take a club down. As long as he's working within his means, he's a very good manager, or at least to an extent. He's a very good manager. In fact, my first podcast ever, way back in 2010, when he just had a good season at Wigan, and I think he'd just taken over at Sunderland and started well, I remember the question Simon Ed put to us was, who would you like to see as the next English manager if they were English? And I said Steve Bruce. And I remember everyone saying, that's a good shout, actually. Yeah, so it shows how times change.
Yeah.
But Sunderland-Southampton in the Red Stripes derby. Southampton knows where Red Stripes and another bastard.
Right.
But it's Burnley, West Ham and the Claret and Blue derby.
Hmm.
So I always like to see that team getting to where they're away. It's what they live for. It's what they're going for, isn't it? It's the League Cup, isn't it? How do we feel? Because speaking of Steve Bruce, he's obviously come out this week and said the game against Huddersfield, it was like a friendly, nobody cared, there was no atmosphere. Agree, disagree?
It's a good opportunity, like Wenger's always used the to sort of flood your youngsters and get your youngsters to not have to play your
Moyes did that yesterday. He said that he's not seen, he tried to keep a sort of stable squad at the beginning of the season, a stable team at the beginning of the season, and he's seeing players that he's not seen before. So those type of teams, for big teams, you say, it allows you to see other players that you probably
wouldn't
see.
I don't think that bodes very well for Alex Bootner, if that's what you're looking for. But
I'd like to win it. I think any comes down to priorities, you've got to get priorities right. You've got to be putting your first team out if you've got such a thin squad.
Again, watching football with my friends yesterday, they said now you're going to be playing Borussia Dortmund twice.
Yep.
I think
Napoli next week.
Napoli, you're going to be playing some big games in between the cup, and obviously you're not going to want to be putting players out for injuries.
We just don't have the players. Yeah. Is that or not?
You look back down the years at the players who really burst onto the scene to the League Cup. I mean, Paul Scholes made his debut and scored twice against Port Vale. Robbie Fowler scored 5 on his debut against Fulham. And of course, Cesc Fabregas came to. I think he scored on the debut. So it's a great chance to really give players an opportunity. And of course, United gave Menucho his big chance.
Oh, him!
You remember him, the Angolan lad?
No.
Yeah, he was dreadful. He was absolute dog shit. People think Bebe's bad. He was awful. But we won't dwell on him. Actually, one of the cup ties to talk about. Fair play to Greenock Morton, who beat Celtic.
Wow.
In the Scottish League Cup, 1-0 after extra time was a penalty, but fantastic results for them. It brings up memories of the old Super Caligo Ballistic Celtic are atrocious when Inverness Cali Tissel knocked them out. So who knows, but fair play to the lads.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, I'm trying to think what else to go on to. Anyone else think of anything interesting they might have seen? Oh, on the cup actually, one note. Last season we backed Hastings United to the hilt in the FA Cup.
Yes,
so third round performed gallantly, against Middlesbrough. They got knocked out in the first qualifying round this year. They lost to Guernsey. And an out of interest, Guernsey is the first time they've had, there's a boat going past.
Sorry,
we're distracted.
A little man. It's like a tin bowl.
I don't know if they're cleaning the river or if they're fishing. Yeah.
Cleaning, I think.
Cleaning. Yeah. It's a big net.
They're doing a bang-up job.
But yeah, I'm not sure there's many fishing, to be honest. I should hope not. Maybe the one from The Simpsons with three eyes. But yeah, Hastings went out to Guernsey, and Guernsey, they're playing in the FA Cup for the first time because a bit of controversy with the Channel Islands and where it falls. They do play in the English League system, but they've had to relinquish home advantage in the next round against Dover because there's a local amateur rugby team playing at the same ground on the same day. They can't move the match, and Dover have refused to play at a different time. They've offered Dover quite a few alternatives, and Dover have said no to them all, so now we'll go to Dover. There's been actually a lot of bad feelings towards Dover on that. I'd be interested to know what the Hastings boys think. But, yeah. Good luck to Guernsey. I think maybe we'll back Guernsey now. Yeah. They're beating them. Ergo, we'll glory hunt and follow Guernsey. You've just seen the answer, haven't you?
I haven't seen the answer. I'm going to still think.
You can stop. I think we'll reveal it at the end of the show. Another shocking bit of news. Mario Balotelli missed his first ever penalty.
Yeah, what a great save that was.
Yeah. And he got sent off.
For saying to the referee that he's going to kill him. I think he was going to kill the referee.
Exactly. And people thought it was bad when John Obi Mikel said he was going to break Clattenburg's legs. But it's Mario, isn't it? You know he's not. He probably went round the next day with a bouquet of flowers and a scale electric set and it's all better.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
it was a good save, though. Fair play.
Yeah, who did he play it? Oh, Napoli it was, yeah. He's a bit of a penalty specialist, didn't he, really?
Yeah,
he always did very well.
A great pen from Balotelli's point of view, but we'll create it to Rainer there, great save.
Yeah.
Maybe you should get some tips from Dan Silva to take penalties.
Oh, yeah, well, it's interesting, because we played in the Wolf Cup, you might have seen a tweet on Friday. Dan seems to have two concerns. One was winning, and two was making sure everyone wore the rainbow laces he'd got from Paddy Power. Which some of us did, some of us didn't, mainly because of the fact of actually changing the laces over. Now, I missed a lot of it because I sprained my ankle in the second game and had to go and hobble an hour and a half home, which was nice. But as I was going, I was undoing my laces and Jim Staples told me to take my laces out, which Dan got furious at because he assumed Jim was just... I think all of a sudden, despite the fact Jim was wearing rainbow lace, I think he decided he'd just become massively homophobic and told me to take that. I'm not sure, but yeah, Jerome, you were playing in the same team as Dan.
Yeah.
You got to the quarterfinals.
We did.
It was a draw, I believe.
It was a 1-1 draw. Quarterfinals.
It went to penalties.
Did
you take a penalty?
I didn't. I was off the pitch.
You were off the pitch. Did Jim take a penalty?
He did. He scored, didn't he? Jim
scored. Who else did? John Day.
He was off the pitch as well.
He was sent off, of course.
And Tom Hunter, who's not part of the podcast, but he scored his.
Yeah.
Last one was Dan Silva.
Dan Silva. How did... The other week, Dan proclaimed himself to be good enough to play for San Marino.
Who
are a team of semi-pros, but did he score?
The penalty?
Yeah.
No.
He didn't.
He missed. He set the keeper the wrong way, but the keeper, it was a good keeper to be fair.
Yeah.
Stuck out a leg and saved it. And he was out. That was
bless him. Well, no, fair enough for stepping up and taking a penalty, Dan.
Good laugh, anyway.
Learn to take penalties better. on the note with the rainbow laces, though, you see, a lot of clubs didn't choose to wear them. I know we discussed this a bit last week, but a lot of clubs, and there's been, actually, United, Tottenham and Chelsea have been the three most high profiles to come out and say
there were
reasons we didn't wear them because the league wasn't consulted and the commercial interest from Paddy Power. And interestingly, the only club who came out and very openly said, we will definitely wear these at Everton, who were also the only club to have Paddy Power as their official betting partner.
That's probably why.
So, I did a very, very interesting article on The Guardian about the issues with the campaign and how Stonewall have maybe backfired by partnering Paddy Power, who have a rather checkered past on commercial interests, should we say, and especially a few homophobic slogans I've used in the past. But that's something to look out at there. Controversies, got one for you. And back to The Guardian as well, this is making me sound like a real lefty, which I am a bit, but fuck it. there's been a big expose on the standard of conditions for the workers on the Qatar 22 stadiums. So they've got a lot of Nepalese immigrants, and the investigation claims that at least 44 workers died between the 4th of June and the 8th of August because of heart-related issues or workplace incidents. Some evidence of forced labour. Nepalese men are claiming they've not been paid for months, with their salaries retained and their passports confiscated, so they can't escape. And access to free drinking water on construction sites has apparently been denied on some occasions.
It's the desert. How can you deny the water? It doesn't really surprise me. I mean, well, I wouldn't say surprise me, but I think there's going to be a lot more of this stuff coming
out. Of course, the Qataris have come out and said, oh my God, no, these are all subcontractors. We'll have a look into it. We'll speak to Amnesty International. But it's just atrocious, and it's another horrific reason that perhaps this workup wasn't the best idea. That's not to say that the Middle Eastern country would use slave labour necessarily, because I don't think it is the case, but there are always going to be issues with workers, and there is such a large migrant population.
Especially building anything in the desert is going to get you thirsty.
Drink. I'd be interested to hear from Firas, one of our listeners, who is working over there on some of the infrastructure. If he's still got access to the internet and drinking water, please get in touch with us. Please let us know either way. Another controversy as well. In Nigeria, and this was sent in by Dan Greenpool as well, four non-league teams have sparked a national scandal over two games in which an incredible 146 goals were scored.
Is that to get them back on goal difference?
One of the teams, and I really wouldn't like to fuck with them because they're called Police Machine, scored an incredible 67 goals against Bubba Yaro, including 61 in just 45 second half minutes, on average a goal every 44 seconds. Now that is some pretty good attacking.
Wow,
they did bring Messi on at half time. And elsewhere, Plateau United Feeders, a bit like Hull City Tigers, hammered 79 goals past Akerba in an equally bizarre match. And now obviously they're investigating it. They reckon it's to do with betting. And also the two winning teams would have gone into Nigeria's bottom professional division, I think. So they would have actually gone to more prestige. So it looks like a lot of controversy. There is a lot of controversy.
They didn't win 80-0.
It's absolutely mad. But a question for you all, and this has been sent in. Who's heard of Ilombe Mbuyo? Probably not. But you might have heard his story. He's a Belgian striker who's just broken into the national team. But he's got a bit of previous criminal history, and this isn't a bit of drink driving. This is, at the age of 17, he was jailed for taking part in a gang rape. And basically, he got out of jail because a football club, I think it was someone like Charleroi, sponsored him because they saw his potential. They have a lot of projects over there, but now he's done well. West Ham were interested in him in the summer, but they had a lot of backlash from their fans. But potentially, he could go to the World Cup next year for Belgium. Now, how do we feel about the fact that
How old is he now?
He's 22, I think, so it's not that long ago, but by all accounts he's reformed, he's out of jail.
You've got to give people a chance, haven't you? If you stop him going to the World Cup and stop his professional career, you might end up back in that situation. That's not good. Just give him a chance.
It's very difficult, and we don't really know his role in the gang rape, which sounds ridiculous. Saying, "Oh, maybe he was just filming it." It's a horrible, horrible crime. You can't kind of give with one hand and say, "Here's your chance to reform." And then take away the gun and say, oh, but you can't play at this level.
For something that you've done, yeah, exactly.
He was a young lad. I don't think that can be an excuse, but at the same time, people
do stupid things when you're young.
Yeah, when you're a 17-year-old footballer.
In this case, stupid, horrible things. Yeah, but hopefully it won't cause too much controversy, because you don't want things to distract
from the actual football.
I'm not sure there's actually too much news this week. There probably is. We're probably missing loads. Champions League's back next week. It was a good start for the English season, wasn't it? I think it was four victories. No, it wasn't. Three victories and a Chelsea loss. So it was a great start for the English team.
Which team? Celtic was unlucky as well.
Yes, Celtic very unlucky. You worry that they... Well, you hope that they can now play at home and sort of take their chances, because they're clearly... got something about them, but at the same time that could very much be a missed opportunity to come to Rome.
Yeah.
One thing I'll point out actually, because obviously ITV has the Champions League rights, and normally you expect them to show they have the rights to, I think, 6 group stage games. You expect them to show 6 games with English teams, but next week they're showing the Celtic Barcelona game instead. So both Arsenal and Chelsea are going to be on Sky. Which is, I mean, obviously it's Barcelona and it is a big club and it's going to go across the country, but I'm surprised they're not just doing that on STV and showing ours.
Was it last season or the season before?
They did, last season.
Tony Watt.
He was electric that day.
But
I think that wraps us up. Thank you, because we've had a lot of comments this week, mainly about my ego last week, and encouraging us to talk a lot less about Hollywood football, but also arguing. We've had quite a few requests to talk about cricket, but they're mainly from United fans who don't want me to talk about the football. trivia question.
So can you just repeat the question again?
Right, so the question is, which player has represented three different clubs at the World Cup? Three different nations at the World Cup. We'll get there eventually. Learn to read better.
Is he a recent player? Is
yes,
he playing?
He played at the last World Cup.
Obviously, I've seen the answer.
It's a bit of a trick.
Is it some sort of Spanish?
No,
it's not.
Catalonia? No.
It's a bit of a trick question.
Oh, okay. Reveal all mine.
In the early 90s, the Iron Curtain came down, and both Russia and Yugoslavia were broken up. So it's Dejan Stankovic.
Played for Yugoslavia.
He played for... That was in 1998.
Yep. Serbia Montenegro.
He did in 2006.
And now he plays for...
Serbia in 2010. So a bit of a trick question, but a good one. If you've got any other trivia for that, like that, send it
like
to
that
you.
One.
It's quite a nice little one. So anything similar... I mean, when I saw it, because I had to look it up, because he was going to get Dan to give the answer, but Dan's not here. It was Paul Sparrow, by the way. He said that he likes to be... In fact, it was Dan Greenfield. But Paul Sparrow says he likes to be mentioned every week, so let's give him a token
mention.
Paul. Hiya, Paul. How you doing? You've not insulted me for a while, so good lad. I thought Alfredo Di Stefano, because I know he played for Spain, Argentina, and I think Colombia during his career, but unfortunately it wasn't him. But great question.
Yeah, that was good.
I think that just leaves us to wrap up. So email us, banter@footballpodcast.co.uk. We are facebook.com/footballpodcast. We're on footballpodcast.co.uk, and follow us on Twitter @footballpodcast. We will be back next week for another show full of joy and laughter. Take care.